So, some of you have had Easter eggs this morning. I don't know if any of you have had a hollow plastic egg, have you? Anyone had a hollow plastic egg? No? Good thing about hollow plastic eggs is you never know what's inside. I wonder what's in here. I've got an idea. It might be M&M's. Do you like M&M's, Lenny? I think you would. Let me have a look. Let's see what's inside here. Oh, yes, it is M&M's. Let's have a look. It's a blue one. Definitely tastes blue. Nice. Well, M&M's.
What else have you got in here?
Oh, I wonder what's in this one. Any ideas what's in here? M&M's again, I think. Sounds like M&M's, doesn't it? I tell you what, I'm going to do this time. I'm going to shut my eyes. I'm going to put it in my mouth, see if I can tell what colour it is. Oh. It's not an M&M. It's a Skittle. I don't know what colour Skittles are. Can't tell the colour of a Skittle. No. Skittles in that one.
Oh, I was going to put those in the bowl. I've got one more egg here.
Ooh. Sounds a bit different, doesn't it? I wonder what's in there. Could it be maybe something a bit bigger? Minstrels? Not sure. Smarties? No. Too small for Smarties. Maltesers. Could be Maltesers, couldn't it? Well, we'll have a look in a minute and we'll see what it is. But first of all, I want to just tell you, I want to use this to tell you something about the Easter story. Because, as we were saying, on Good Friday, Jesus died upon the cross, didn't he? Very sad. And then they took his body off of the cross and they put his body in a tomb. Now, a tomb is a bit like a cave. And they put a big stone over the front of it and they even put some soldiers on guard around the tomb. But they checked, Jesus was dead before his body was put in the tomb. And so on Friday, there was Jesus, his body, here his body in the tomb. Well, Friday came, went, Saturday came, and nobody went to the tomb on Saturday, but Jesus' body was still in the tomb. He came very early on Sunday morning and some ladies got up very early and they went down to the tomb. They were going to put some special spices on Jesus' body. And when they got there, to their amazement, the big stone had been rolled away. And when they looked inside, there's nothing there. Tomb was empty. Wow, that was amazing, wasn't it? Well, we're going to be thinking about why was the tomb empty? Why was that tomb empty on that day when Jesus' body had been put inside the tomb? Why was it empty? And we'll think about that a bit later on. And now, John and Sheila are going to come and bring us our reading, which is from Matthew, part of chapter 27 and part of chapter 28. Thank you, John and Sheila.
Right, Matthew 27, commencing to read at verse 57. As evening approached, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph. He had himself become a disciple of Jesus. Going to Pilate, he asked for Jesus' body, and Pilate ordered that it be given to him. Joseph took the body, wrapped it in a clean linen cloth, and placed it in his own new tomb that he had cut out of the rock. He rolled a big stone in front of the entrance to the tomb and then went away. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary were sitting there opposite the tomb. The next day, the one after preparation day, the chief priests and Pharisees went to Pilate. "Sir," they said, "we remember that while he was still alive, that deceiver said, 'After 3 days, I will rise again.'" So gave the order for the tomb to be made secure until the third day. Otherwise, his disciples may come and steal the body and tell the people that he has been raised from the dead. This last deception will be worse than the first. "Take a guard," Pilate answered. "Go, make the tomb as secure as you know how." So they went and made the tomb secure by putting a seal on the stone and posting the guard.
Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 15. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.'" So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priest everything that had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You are to say, 'His disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep.' If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely circulated among the Jews to this very day.
You know, some things are surprising, but they're true. Here we go. Surprising but true. Now, Rosa, where's Rosa? I need you to help me, because I know you're very good at doing sums. Yeah? You can add numbers together. Let's see if you can do this sum. Can you tell me 12 add 1, or 12 plus 1? Well done, very good, 13. Now, this is a harder one, all right? I don't know if you can do this one or not. See if you can do this one. 11 add 2, 11 plus 2. 13 again. So, what Rosa has taught us is that 12 plus 1 equals 13, and 11 plus 2 equals 13. Yeah? Or we could say 12 plus 1 is the same as 11 plus 2. Yeah? Everyone agreed so far? All with me?
Yeah?
Okay. I'm going to go a stage further. We could also say that 12 plus 1 is the same as 11 plus 2. Yeah? Really, what we just said, we're saying it in a different, slightly different way. Now then, who's good at spelling? I need two people who are good at spelling. Let's have Dylan and Henry. Come on then. Now, I've got some Scrabble letters here. You play Scrabble? Sometimes? You have to turn them all over. Well, let Henry start, youngest first. Can you spell out 12 plus 1? Very good. Let's just show everybody. So Henry has managed to spell out 12 plus 1 there. Now, would you like to muddle them up for Dylan? Okay, now Dylan, can you, this is a real challenge, with the same letters spell out 11 plus 2? You can go and sit down if you like. Thank you, Henry. Give him a clap. Wow, that's amazing. Dylan, with the very same letters, has managed to spell out 11 plus 2. Give him a clap. It's surprising but true, but 12 plus 1... uses the same Scrabble letters as 11 plus 2, and they both make 13. Isn't that amazing? It's surprising, but true. Now, when we come to the Easter story, it's a very surprising story, because people who've died don't come back to life again. We know that, sadly. We wish it happened, but they don't, do they? And yet, the Easter story tells us that Jesus died, and yet he came alive again. Surprising, but true. Now, we need to be sure of this, and we're going to be detectives this morning. Who knows what a detective is? Henry? Someone who looks for something, yeah? Sorry? Not. Did you say spies? Not quite spies. Who else thinks they know what a detective is? You know what a detective is, Ben?
Yeah.
What's it? Someone who investigates, very good word, long word, but very good. Someone who investigates, they look at something, they try and find out all the things about it, and then they decide what really happened. You have when there's been like a robbery or a murder or something like that, detectives go, and they do two things really. They talk to people, and they say, well, what do you think happened? And then they also look for clues or facts that help them to work out who's telling the truth. And we can do that this morning. I need all the children to come and help me to be detectives. Come on. You can all be detectives. Pip, you can if you want. He's getting older now. Right. Now, we've got a whole bunch of Sherlock Holmeses here. Now, the first thing you've got to do is you've got to go and talk to people. I want you to go around the room, and you just ask this simple question: why was the tomb empty? Now, grown-ups, if I've given you something this morning, just shake your head, say, just shake your head. But if I've given you something this morning, I want you to give it to the person that asked you. So what you're going to say is, why was the tomb empty? And see if you can get some reasons that people give you. All right, actually go, talk to all the people. And, if you get one, can you come and sit back down again? Because I want, don't want you getting more than one. There's about seven, I think. So if you find one.
What was the tomb empty?
If you've got one, just hold on to it. Or bring it to me, actually, and then sit down. Okay, thank you. How many have you got? Bring them to me when you've got them. Okay. 1, 2, 3. We've got, sorry. It's a 6. We've got four. I think there's three more. Oh, here's another one. Five. Any more? Pip's got one. Oh, five, six. Oh, she's got two. Oh, we've got all seven. Okay, you can sit down again now. Let me just sort these. So they've got numbers on. And we just sort these into order. Thank you for your help. We've got something else for you to do in a minute. Right, let's see what we've got here. So these are reasons that people have given to you as to why the tomb was empty. First one says, the story of Jesus' death and burial was made up. Jesus never really lived. It's just a whole fairy tale. He didn't live, he didn't die, he wasn't buried. So if he didn't do any of those things, he doesn't need to be in a tomb anyway. That's the first one. Okay. Here's the second one. Why was the tomb empty? Explanation two, Jesus fainted and revived in the tomb. He wasn't really dead, but he just sort of revived in the tomb and managed to get out. Okay, that's number two. Number three, explanation three, the disciples came and stole Jesus' body. So he was dead, but they pretended he'd risen from the dead by stealing his body. Here's number four. The disciples imagined that Jesus had risen from the dead. It was all in their heads. They just imagined it. It didn't really happen, but it just was what they imagined. Number five. Similar to the last one, but a little bit different. The disciples invented the story of the resurrection. They knew it wasn't true, but they just invented it as a story. Number six. The women went to the wrong tomb. They went to an empty tomb and thought it was where Jesus had been buried, but they went to the wrong tomb. And last one is Jesus really did die and rise from the dead. So we've got seven things that people over the years have actually said about why they think the tomb was empty. And we're going to investigate those. We're going to be detectives. Now, the second thing we said detectives do is they go looking for clues, go looking for facts. And then we have to sort of work out which of those explanations fits the facts, all right? So, detectives, on your feet again. I want you to go around the room. This time you can find two facts. If you look around the room, they look a bit like this. You know, detectives, they often use something called a magnifying glass. And you'll see these. They've got like a magnifying glass on. And find two and then keep hold of them and sit down. Maximum two. Now, I tell you what, when you found two, come and stand at the front here.
Two roses.
You got two? You got two, right. Stand at the front. Lenny's got two. Well done. Okay, right. Now then, this is where you've got to put your thinking caps on. Because what we've got to do is think about these different explanations that were given, and we've got to say, now, does that match up with the facts? All right, and we're going to try and work out whether any of these facts support that theory or not. So the first explanation was that the story of Jesus' death and burial was made up. Jesus never lived, never died. It's just all made up. Now, has anybody got anything they think? Or let me just go through these facts. So, fact number one. There were four men who wrote Gospels, which are like stories of Jesus' life. Matthew, Mark, Luke and John all wrote the life of Jesus. There are other Bible books. Before Jesus was born, Isaiah and David predicted that Jesus would live. Many other people and other people since. There are even books that aren't in the Bible, people that other non-Christians have written, who talk about Jesus being the man who died. Jesus himself predicted that he was going to die and rise again. There are many people who saw the saw Jesus after he lived, and when these books were written, many of those people were still alive. Jesus was tortured before he died on the cross. He went through, he was beaten with horrible, rough sort of whip thing. He was really tortured. His death was confirmed. The people that crucified him, they put a sword in his side, and out came blood and water, which is a sign that he really had died. His side. Yeah. There were people who saw him being buried. They put a large, very heavy stone over the tomb. The tomb was guarded by soldiers. Inside the tomb, when they went in, there were the, as they wrapped his body in these linen wrappings, they were still in the tomb. The soldiers, we read there in Matthew, were bribed. They were said, tell this story that the disciples stole Jesus' body. No one has ever found Jesus' body. Many people have seen him, and the disciples were cowards. They didn't expect Jesus to rise from the dead. They didn't believe it when it happened, and many of them died for their faith later on. Now then, so the first explanation, the story of Jesus' death and burial was made up. It wasn't actually true. Can you think of any of those facts that help us think that is true or not true? Maybe grown-ups can help us with some of these things. Any grown-ups have any idea of what facts? Yeah, then what have you got? Yeah. There are people like, men like Josephus, who was a Jewish historian, he wasn't a Christian. Another historian, Tacitus, who talked about the fact that Jesus was a man who lived and died. And there are writings that show that Jesus really did live, as well as what Lenny's got there. The four different men who wrote about his life, and other writings in the Bible. So lots of reasons to believe that this man really did live, he really did die. Let's move on. The second explanation was that Jesus fainted and revived in the tomb. Now, have you got any facts that would suggest that that could be true or not true? Think about it. A man who's been really... you tell me. Are there any facts that would make it difficult to believe that he revived and came out of the tomb on his own? Yes, the fact, well done Henry, the fact that the soldiers could confirm he really had died. Yep. Anything else? What would he have to do to get out of the tomb?
Push the stone.
Push the stone, yeah, the large stone. A man who's been on the cross would find it very hard, wouldn't he, to push a big stone out of the way. Anything else? What else has happened to Jesus? What else has happened to him? Ten? Have you got something?
No. Six. Jesus tortured.
That he was tortured, yeah, he was very weak. How could he have pushed the stone away and got out of the tomb? And what else would have prevented him getting out of the tomb? Something else, not only the big stone, what else did he have to overcome?
Guards.
Guards on the tomb. Very good. Well done. So it doesn't look like that could be true, does it? What about number three? The disciples came and stole Jesus' body. Now, what could... Just think of it. If they'd really done that, what would they have to do? To do that. Think about what would be involved. If they came to try and steal the body from the tomb. Move the big stone. So again, the big stone is a problem. What else? Something similar to that was preventing...
The guards.
The guards again. Yeah, the guards. They'd have overcome those Roman guards. What do we know about the disciples? Were they really eager to prove that Jesus had risen? What have you got there, Jasper? They were cowards, weren't they? They'd run away. They weren't in a fit state to go trying to do things like that. Anything else? What do you want, Anne?
They died for their faith.
They died for their faith, that's right. Now, if they knew that it was not true, do you think they would then die for their faith?
were they willing to suffer and die for you? Was all the lie and they just stole the body? I don't think so, do you? There's many reasons why we can't think the inside of stole the body. Number four, they just imagined that Jesus had risen. It was all in their imagination. What do you think about that? Where's the one? What have you got closer? Yes. The fact that the body was never produced is one, isn't it? If the body was, if they just imagined it, surely someone would have gone to the tomb to show it wasn't true because they would have just produced the body. That's right. And the many sightings as well. Many people saw Jesus after he'd risen as well. And again, the fact that they eventually died for their faith might indicate that can't be true. And I think the same is very true, that the disciples invented the story of the resurrection. If they just invented it, would they die for their faith? Did they do that? They knew it wasn't true. But again, if they'd invented it, wouldn't someone have produced the body and shown that it was all just a made-up story? What about if the women went to the wrong tomb? Could that be true? What do we know about the linen wrappings? It's a bit strange if they went to the wrong tomb and it had some linen wrappings in, wouldn't it? Why would there be linen wrappings that could be wrapped around the body if it was an empty tomb? Surely not. What about, did they know where the body was buried? Who's got the thing about witnesses to the burial? Eyewitnesses there, what are your name? Witnesses to the burial. The people actually saw exactly where Jesus was buried. Some of those were the same women who went the next day. It seemed unlikely that they would have gone to the wrong tomb. If they had, someone would have said, well, this is the right tomb and here's the body. So let's go to the last explanation, that Jesus really did rise again. Let's go through these facts and see if that ties in. Lenny, let's have a look at what you've got there. So we've got four men that wrote about this, that this happened. Four separate men, and they all wrote the same account that Jesus really did die and rise again. You've got other Bible books that say that this was going to happen, that it has happened. We've got non-Christian writings. They don't actually talk about the resurrection, but they do talk about the fact that Jesus was a very real person that died. Jesus himself promised that he was going to die and rise again. There are many eyewitnesses around. If this had all been made up, surely someone would have said, look, we know this is not true because they were eyewitnesses, and yet no one at the time trying to disprove what these men had written. The fact that Jesus was tortured, if he rose from the dead, he became alive again. That's an amazing thing. And it's so amazing that whether he was weak or not, he could still do that because he was obviously someone very different, someone very special. And we're not just talking about him reviving, we're talking about a miracle that happened that made him come alive again. If death was confirmed, then yes, the only way that he could come alive again is if he really rose from the dead. What else you got, Henry? Witnesses to the burial, they knew that he'd been buried, there's no doubt that he was buried, he wasn't thrown in a common grave, he was buried in his tomb, and then rose from it. The large stone, we know that the stone was rolled away, not to let Jesus out, but so that the ladies that went to the tomb could look in and see that his body had gone. The tomb was guarded. We've seen that that would stop anyone stealing the body. The only way that that could be accounted for is if Jesus miraculously rose from the dead and became alive again. He wouldn't have to overcome the guards. We know later on that Jesus could come and go and appear in different places, can pass through walls. His body, although they recognised him, somehow his body was different, and he could have got out of the tomb without having to worry about the guards. The bribery of the soldiers. Why would the chief priests and that ask the soldiers to make up this story? They must have known that something very amazing had happened. They didn't want anyone to believe it, and they invented this story that the body had been stolen. Although we know that's impossible, really. The linen wrappings, that would be right, wouldn't it? If Jesus had just risen from the dead, the wrappings of Lazarus' body would be left. The fact that the body was never produced shows that something amazingly different had happened, and the fact that many people saw him. And the cowardly disciples, they were ashamed, they were such cowards, and yet something so amazing happened, and they were unbelieving, they didn't expect Jesus to rise, and yet, they died in their faith. Something amazing happened to those disciples, so that they believed what had happened. They believed a miracle had happened, that Jesus really was alive, and they believed it so much they were prepared to give their lives rather than say it didn't happen. Great, you've been great detectives. Now we're nearly finished. We've just got one or two things we're going to look at on the screen. Let's just have those back. You can sit down now, and we're just going to think about one or two last things. All right, thank you. Now then, the thing is, if Jesus really did die and rise from the dead and came alive again, what does that mean for us? How does that affect us? Well, the first thing we can say is that Jesus must not be an ordinary man, because ordinary men couldn't do that. They couldn't come alive again and do all those things that Jesus did. He's no ordinary man. Jesus must be someone very special. The Bible tells us that he is God. And we know that God can do anything. God is all powerful. He was God who became a man. We think about it at Christmas, don't we, how Jesus became a man. He grew up and he lived a sinless life. He never did anything wrong. And the reason he lived like that, and the reason he came to live as a man, was because he was going to go to the cross. And the cross wasn't an accident. It wasn't just that he couldn't, he was overpowered by the Romans and he couldn't do anything about it. He willingly gave his life. And the reason he did it was to take the punishment for what we do wrong. Because we sin, because we do things that are wrong, we deserve to be punished, because God has made his law. And he says, if we don't keep his law, then we need to be punished. But Jesus said, no, I will take their punishment. I will die in their place. And that's the amazing reason why Jesus came into the world, to die in our place. And our response to that is that we need to believe that and ask Jesus to forgive us, to say sorry for our sin and ask him to forgive us. The wonderful thing is that although he went to the cross, Jesus conquered death. He came alive again. And after a while, he returned to heaven. And if we're trusting in Jesus, we too will one day go to heaven when we become old and die. It's a wonderful thing. Because Jesus is alive, we will live as well. Death isn't the end. Yes, we will die when we get old, but that's not the end. Jesus offers us eternal life, living forever with him, sharing in that new life that he showed us was possible. So at Easter, we praise God that Jesus is alive. That's what we've been doing today, isn't it? We praise God that he will forgive us when we tell him we're sorry for our sin. We don't need to feel that we can never be forgiven. Jesus will forgive us when we tell him we're sorry for our sin. And we can praise God that he promises to give us eternal life in heaven when we die. Jesus' resurrection, Jesus coming alive again, proves that there is life after death for those who trust in him. So Easter is a wonderful time, and we just thank Jesus that these things are true.
Just before we close in prayer, there was a man, his name was Frank Morrison, and he set out to try and prove that Jesus didn't rise from the dead. That was his aim. And he looked at all the facts that we've been looking at this morning. He thought about all the possible reasons why the tomb might be empty. And then he came to the conclusion that it really must be true. And there are other people that have similarly searched and investigated and came to the conclusion there's no other explanation for all those facts other than that Jesus really did rise from the dead. Let's just pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for all that it teaches us about the Lord Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we can be sure that Jesus did rise from the dead and is alive forevermore, and that when we trust in him, we shall one day go to be with him forever. Help us, Lord, to believe and to trust you and to live our lives for you. Thank you for being with us this morning, and we pray that you bless each family here and be with us until we meet again. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen.